world is a treacherous landscape filled with the deadliest terrain from Dakar to Baja. Guiding your way are off-road stars Jimmy and Trent Beaver. This is the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Powered by Speed Energy.
Hey everybody, you guys out there today? I'm sorry about that. I'm going to try and get Andrew Cadell on air live right now. I apologize for everything. I don't even know if the intro music dropped. I've done everything through the internet and through phone lines, and we had a big crash here. And you know what? When it rains, it pours. I'm sorry about that. Things happen. We worked to get everything up, and we're a few minutes late. I apologize for that, but you know, when you're hosting a live show, stuff happens, and it definitely happened today. So we're going to try and get Andrew live on air here in a second, and you know, we'll go on with the show as planned. Again, I apologize for all the problems we had here a minute ago, but you know what? We'll keep on rolling. Let's see. We're up Andrew here. We'll get him live on air. Should be a good time. So, all right, we're dialing him now. We'll see if we can get him to pop through. Wow, not going through. We've got all kinds of tech problems today. Once again, I apologize. I don't like to run a radio show like this when we have tech problems. That's not my gig, and I'll just roll with them. I, once again, apologize for this. I should have had all this lined up, and had all kinds of modems and everything crash all at once 2 minutes before we went live. Anyways, how about that Baja 500 this past weekend? Huge race. We're going to have full coverage of that and a ton more as soon as we can get all this stuff up and running. All right, you guys on the chat board out there, I'm sorry about this. All kinds of problems, just kind of totally blew it today, didn't we? Trying to get a hold of Andrew. He's not picking up. I don't know what's going on. Let's see here. All right. Well, we will. I'm texting Andrew as we go. He's got the call-in number. Hopefully, he calls in. Let's just get rolling with the show like we normally would. Ignore the first 7 minutes of downtime we had. You know what? Stuff happens in live radio. I apologize, but it sure as hell happened today, and we're going to keep on rolling with it. Hopefully, we can get Andrew on here shortly. I gave him the call-in number, so we're waiting on his call-in. I'll keep trying back, but we're going to keep on rolling with our full coverage of what happened over the weekend. First off, the Baja 500, the big one. That's what went down this past weekend. You know, one of the biggest races of the year. You know, it was just absolutely a great event. The numbers were down a little bit from previous years as far as entries go. I think the last time I raced down there, there was about 400 total entries. I think we were about almost 270. Hey, we got a caller. Is this Andrew?
Yes, it is.
Hey, sorry about that, Andrew. 2 minutes before we went live, we had a bunch of modems crash here, and phone lines went down, internet went down, everything for the show went down, and so, you know, we're about 10 minutes into the show, and nothing's happened so far, but running a little bit late, but I appreciate you calling in, and I guess we'll just roll with the punches and go on as usual.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. I appreciate it. You've been pretty busy lately. First off, before we get into talking about your torque program this year, let's talk a little bit about I know you went out the 29th to Robbie's big announcement for the Stadium Super Trucks. You were out there, weren't you?
Yeah, I went out there. Went down there and hung out with Scott Rain. Kind of decided to go down there and just check it out. And I grew up around Mickey Thompson back in my dad raced Mickey Thompson for many years and just kind of wanted to go check it out and see what it's all about. And, it's going to be a cool deal. Those trucks were cool. We got there pretty early, watched him do some, test jumps and then got to be there for the unveil to everybody. So it's going to be a cool series, and hopefully I can be a part of it.
That was my next question. It looks like you've got pretty good backing with Dodge and then with Traxxas. I mean, are you going to try and put a deal together to run that series next year?
Yeah, like I said, I'd love to put a deal together. Like you said, I got great partners in Mopar, Ram, Traxxas, BF Goodrich, Amsoil. We got a bunch of good partners out there that I know that we could probably go after and maybe get into that series. I think with the purse money and the prize money that was mentioned at the unveil thing. There's going to be a lot of heavy drivers going towards that. I know Mike and I think there's, I think they said there's like 8 trucks, already signed up or something like that. So, there's a limit of 30. So there's just a lot of people fighting for not a lot of spots. And so hopefully we can get a deal done and be out there racing against everybody there next year.
That'd be awesome. Now let's kind of go back to your off-road program and really your racing career in general. I know obviously you started out in karts and were really successful with that. And you've done, raced everything from Bandoleros and then you got into the sports cars and were really successful in that. How did you transition to off-road? I mean, it's not the normal transition pattern to go from karting to sports cars to then switch over to off-road racing.
Yeah, it's kind of been a, off the beaten path there to get to the Torque Series. I've always, like I said, my dad, I grew up, watching my dad race off-road. He raced for 20 years, retired in 96. His final race is at Crandon. And so me and my dad took Mike and Mark Jenkins, who from the Jenkins Brothers Racing Team, took them out to Prim for their first ever race back in 07. And they got hooked, got into the off-road series. Then started the Torque Series, the following year or 2 years later. And so, we kind of been talking to them about doing something possibly in off-road racing. And, they kept saying, hey, we have a truck if you ever want to come over and join us. And we kind of made a deal and started racing there in 2010. And, like I said, my dad's final race is at Crandon and my first race is at Crandon. So it's kind of special. And then, go out there and win the first race ever in off-road racing. Especially at Crandon was a pretty big deal and I'm loving it right now.
Yeah. I mean, you've been successful. I mean, your first year you got driver of the year, you, took second in Pro Light points that year, Pro Light champion last year. You're the Pro Light points leader this year. I mean, it's been pretty phenomenal. I mean, what you've accomplished in a short amount of time, how was the transition? I mean, you're running in Mustang sports cars. I mean, how was the transition into off-road? I mean, as far as, what was the learning curve like going from, obviously, you still have to concentrate on apexes and, a lot of that transfers over. But, in sports cars, you lose grip and you lose time. And, short course, you're pretty much sideways the entire time.
Yeah, the transition wasn't too difficult. It was made a lot easier by having a great team behind me. Jenkins Brothers Racing, they've been around off-road, Ken Kincaid, a bunch of people have been on the team have been around off-road for many years. And so what made the transition even easier was going to a track like Crandon. It's more of a road race style track. You know, you're high speed, lots of slowing corners, everything like that. You know, that's how road racing is. And to go there to my first race wasn't too difficult. You know, I struggled my first year on the short tracks really bad. You know, Oshkosh wasn't very good, and then near Chicago later in the year, I started picking it up finally. And I've been okay. I've been better on the short tracks. Still not great. I still got a lot of learning to do on those kind of tracks. And you know, I still got a lot of learning to do on any track. You know, I'm learning things every time I go on track. Looking for, holes, looking for, reading dirt changes and just like stuff like that. You know, I've never had to do that. You know, road racing, it was one line. That was the fast line around the track. And, with going to off-road racing, you have to, look where the moisture is. You have to look where holes are. You have to, if you hit a hole, you have to know where that hole was. And you have to remember a lot more stuff. And so it's a lot more, takes a lot more focus to race off-road. And, transition wasn't, like I said, the transition was made easier by a great team. And by having a great truck out there.
Yeah. I know, you talk about transitions and seeing the terrain and stuff like that. Let's go even farther. You ever have any interest in also doing a little bit of desert racing maybe?
Yeah, I would love to go desert racing. You know, this year, I think, being part of Team BFG, I think they're going to be they've had a vote for, wide open, to drive the wide open cars of the Baja 1000. And so hopefully I can, get down and be in the wide open car and go down and race the Baja 1000 and just get a feel for it. I've never been to the Mexico, never, even been close to the Baja scene. And I've heard from, many drivers, Rob McCracken, Bryce Menges, and Mike Jenkins and, a bunch of people like that, Mexico is pretty crazy down there and they love it and they love the culture and they love going racing down there. To watch, I watched the finish of the Baja 500 this last weekend and was happy to see, fellow torque driver Bryce Menges win the race. But, I'd love to go down there and race Baja. Hopefully it's in the cards this year and hopefully we can make it down there.
Yeah, it's, you talk about it. And I guess the only, I think about really the only short course event that you can put on par with about running like a 500 or 1,000 is as crazy as Crandon gets. It's a huge event. It's just like that all the time down in Baja. It's just nuts. The fans have a real zest for racing, let's say, and it's just really, really amazing. It's total different world down there. But, what are the plans for the rest of the year? Obviously, you're concentrating on the Torque Series. Any chance you may come west and possibly do some other short course events? Or are we concentrating mainly on the Torque Series?
Yeah, I think we're just concentrating mainly on the Torque Series. If our series, I think, has done a little bit before, before out west. So, if we can maybe work a deal where we can get out there, and we came out there last year at Race Vegas. And, ran good, finished fourth the first day and then qualified to pole the second day. Hopefully we can make it out there, but, that's up to the team. Right now we're focused on trying to get this, trying to defend this number one plate on my Mopar Ram truck and just try going out there and competing for wins. We started off the season hot with 3 wins in a row. Had a little dip and, I say a little dip, finished third of the last race, but, we love wins. That's what we keep going for. And there could be some other opportunities where I run a pro tour later in the year or a couple races, something that's kind of hurt. So, that would be fun to do. I guess to drive Rob McCracken's pro tour. Didn't fill the shoes very well there in Charlotte, but, it was fun to drive to and just kind of get that feeling of all that horsepower. So, hopefully we can do that, but right now it's just focusing on the pro light and hopefully we can bring another championship home.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you. I mean, obviously, we know you you ran pro. Well, we got a caller in maybe with a question. So let's pick him up and see who we're talking to. Hey, you're live on the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show with Jim Beaver, and we've got Andrew on air. Who are we talking with?
This is Scott Rain, actually the announcer for the Torque Series.
Oh, boy.
How you doing, Scott?
Not too bad. I guess I just want to throw my 2 cents in worth concerning Andrew. He is a very, very fun driver to watch. I don't think people realize that. You look at the kid, and he does not look like a race car driver. You should have seen him probably, 4 or 5 years ago, Andrew, when you're doing the Mustang GT challenge. And he looked like your neighborhood kid that should be delivering newspapers, not a kid behind the wheel that's actually going out beating all these guys in these Mustangs. And now to have him off road, it's absolutely phenomenal to watch this guy and his learning curve. He's not giving himself enough credit. He won the very first race he was ever in behind the wheel of an off road truck at all places, Grandin.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Oh, okay. No, I lost you. I apologize, man. We've had tech problems like crazy today. So I don't know, man. I'm pulling my hair out. I think I've turned two more shades of gray today than normal. It's kind of crazy. This is not my style and not my deal with tech problems. But it's just amazing. I mean, looking at these records, I've got them sitting in front of me and. You know, it's just amazing, and, you know, to win your first off-road race out of the box is just crazy, and like you said at Crandon, I mean, that's the biggest stage of them all as far as short course goes. It's just amazing, and I got to give you credit, at 23, 24 years old, I mean, you know, you look at the guys you're competing against, and you mentioned, like, Rob McCracken. I mean, Rob's one of the best ever, and he's been around, he's been around forever. I mean, he's got that much experience, and, you know, for him to think highly enough of you to put you in his Pro 2, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah, it was really special, you know, just to race his truck. You know, I went in there kind of just wanted to get him points, and, I started getting a little too, like the second day, I got a little too over-anxious. We were going for a third-place finish for him, and, it was great to race Pro 2 and great to race for him. You know, I grew up, like I said, grew up watching Mickey Thompson, you know, watching him, and I actually found a shirt in my room, in my closet a couple weeks ago, actually signed by Rob McCracken from the 1995, you know, Stadium Series, or, one of those years. So it's kind of funny to have a shirt signed by Rob McCracken and actually be his teammate this year now, in 2012. So very special to have him as a teammate and be on this great Mopar Ram team and be with Jenkins Bros Racing.
Yeah, and I do have to mention too, we've got Scott on air, and you know, want to get your opinions, but I've got to say the second Crandon race of the year, I think I'm more excited about that short course race than I've been about any short course race in I don't know how many years. The other short course series, they changed their date to accommodate their drivers going to the Torque race, and I think it's going to be just absolutely huge, you know, almost like an East versus West, or, you know, I think the fields are going to be huge for that event, and I'm so looking forward to that Torque race.
Yeah, I hope that a lot of the other guys come out there and run Crandon. You know, I when we went out to Vegas last year, I talked to a bunch of them and told them about Crandon and how amazing it was, the culture of Crandon and the speed of Crandon, you know, going into turn one flat out at 95 miles an hour in a pro light, you know, was pretty hairy. A lot of those guys out there running V8 now, and that's what the Torque series mandated a couple years ago. And they're finally, you know, everyone over there is finally starting to change over. So they got all the right trucks. Just, you know, it's a long tow for them. So hopefully we can get some guys out there. You know, RJ Anderson left and went out there last year or this year. So hopefully he can come back out there. And you know, Casey Curry, he's been a Torque driver for many years, and hopefully he can come back out there and run again and pick up a couple more guys. You know, we had 20 trucks there last year. Hopefully we can surpass that this year.
Yeah, and I have to mention, I mean, you know, you're all obviously, you know, involved predominantly in Pro Light, but, you know, I've had this conversation on air with numerous people, and I honestly, I think moving to the V8s was such an awesome idea, and for the vision to Torque, you know, of Torque to have that, to make that change, I think it's, just look at car counts in Pro Light. I mean, they're through the roof now, and it's just, you know, absolutely amazing.
Like I said, I went to a couple races with the four cylinders, and I think those motors, you know, are, you know, $30,000 a piece, you know, in that area, and they're rebuilding them every, you know, four races, something like that. And some guys, you know, at the front of the pack were even changing motors for the second day. I mean, that's, you know, they're going through $60,000 worth of motors in a 2-day weekend. So it's a lot better with the V8 Pro Light now. You know, great rules package. And, you know, $7,500, you know, $10,000 motors, and they last the whole year. I mean, never have to change them, never, nothing. And, you know, there's like I said, there's Ford, Chevy, and Mopar out there right now. So it's great. It's great to have those three manufacturers out there, and you know, hopefully the truck counts keep getting bigger and bigger, and I think they will with the V8 and the lower cost of running the truck.
Well, yeah, and you know, like you say, you know, those four cylinders, you know, you can badge them Ford, Chevy, Dodge, you know, whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but running these almost, you know, spec V8 engines and you know what I mean, and having the major manufacturers involved in it, it's definitely become a manufacturer's class. You know, it really is Ford, you know, Chevy, Mopar, Dodge doing battle with their engines against each other, and I think that's really cool because, you know, these are engines that everybody can buy. You know, you can go to your local Ford Racing Parts dealer or Mopar Ram dealer and order one of these engines, and I think that's what's made the Pro-Lite class really amazing because people can really relate to the motors you guys are running.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they can go and pick them up. They pick them up for cheap, you know. You just drop a motor in one of these trucks and start going, and you can go grab it anywhere you want from any dealership. And so it's made the class a lot closer. And, you know, there's probably 7-8 guys on any given weekend that can win in the Pro-Lite class, you know, in torque. And that's out of, you know, 10, 11, 12 trucks that are out there, that were out there at Redbud. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that can win, and it's equaled out the class. You know, that's what I've always been a part of was spec classes. You know, I ran the MX5 Cup. It was spec motors. I ran Mustang Challenge spec motors, and then I moved up to the Torque Series with the V8, and it's been spec motors since the second year. You know, the first year, four cylinders were allowed. Marty Hart ran his four cylinder that whole year, but now the V8s are mandated in torque, and it's helping the class, and it's going up, and that's what the V8s are the future of Pro-Lite, and hopefully we can keep building this class and building off road racing.
Yeah, and I agree. I just the way the class has skyrocketed has been amazing. I mean, you know, what's you know, are you, you know, let's look a year, 2 years out. I mean, you know, are you planning on staying in Pro-Lite, or is the move to Pro 2 or Pro 4 most likely in your future?
A move to Pro 2 is, you know, in the future. Just depends on when, you know, after this last year there was a big talk of going up to Pro 2. But we wanted to kind of, you know, then Mopar Ram was looking for a Pro-Lite driver, and I got involved with that, and be able to come back and run the number one plate is very special. You know, last couple years, I think all the number one plates have not been out there. So this year, all three champions from last year, myself, Bryce Menzies, and Ricky Johnson are running the one plate. So it's special to come back and defend a championship. But hopefully, you know, either next year or the year after, I'm up in Pro 2 and race against, you know, the likes of, you know, Jeff Kincaid, you know, Rob McCacker, and Bryce Menzies, you know, Chad Hoard, all those kind of guys that are up there in the Torque Series. And I would love to race against those guys. It just depends on when it's in the cards.
Yeah, that's you know, just looking at it, and you know, I think that'll be awesome to get you in you know, in a Pro 2 and be able to rub fenders with the best of them. I think that should be really exciting. Anything you know, I appreciate you coming on air. Anything you want to leave us with before we go, or any tidbits on maybe some special projects you've got working or anything?
Yeah, just having me on the show has been awesome. You know, I've always heard about the show, and always wanted to kind of come on there, and just, you know, like I said, you know, hopefully we'll be putting out some stuff for when the BF Goodrich voting happens for that wide open excursion at the Baja 1000. So hopefully we can maybe pick up some votes for that, and be able to go down and race the Baja 1000, and you know, maybe we'll do a, you know, video blog while we're down there or something like that. It'd be a blast to go down there and just hang out in Mexico and see that kind of stuff and see the culture and see how everyone loves that race. And again, just thanks for having me on the show, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think we'll definitely get you back on air. You know, we'll wait till later on, maybe after the mm-hmm. Big Crandon race or something like that, and
yep.
We'll get you on air and talk a little bit more and see, you know, see how far, you know, hopefully you're still in the points lead in Pro-Lite for sure.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andrew. I appreciate you coming on air, and thanks for bearing with us with the technical problems we had today. I'm sorry about that.
No problem, man.
All righty. Take it easy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, that was Andrew Cadell, pro-light driver in the Mopar Ram truck for, you know, in the Torque Series. Last year's points champion, points leader this year, 2010, second in pro-light points in his very first year, and also Torque Rookie Driver of the Year. Came over from Mustangs, you know, in road racing. Just absolutely amazing, amazing what he's been able to accomplish in a short amount of time in off-road. It's really is amazing. Torque Series this year has just been awesome. They have some really, really great TV coverage. And, you know, the thing that has got me excited about Torque this year is they've actually, I don't know if you guys have been watching, but they've got a few races they're televising live, you know, and for live off-road coverage, it's very rare in this industry and been really, really awesome. I think, don't quote me on it, but I think their next live broadcast is from Chicago. I don't know for sure. Next event on the Torque calendar is the first Crandon race, which isn't the big one. The big one comes in September, but I think the next live event may be the Chicagoland race, which is one round away. So very, very awesome. But I think we're going to get into a little bit of trivia today. Got a little bit different. A little bit different question today, but we're going to get into our giveaway. We've got a Ringers prize pack we're giving away. A good friend of ours, Ringers Ringers Gloves, it gave us a prize package. So today's winner is going to receive a set of Ringers Gloves. They're high-quality, task-specific gloves built to withstand the toughest conditions and anything else the user throws at them. This specific model we're giving away is the Authentic. It's their standard work glove with a Velcro closure to stay on tight. You can check them out online at ringersgloves.com or on Facebook and Twitter. They're both both on there as well. So thanks, Ringers, for kicking in a set of gloves. And I believe there might be even a flex fit that we're throwing in with it. Don't quote me on that. But our trivia question today, pretty simple. Some of you have been listening to the show for a long time. Others maybe not so long, just coming on as listeners. But the question today, we'll take the answer off the chat board or a caller, whatever you want to do. But the question today, who was the guest or what company did the guest work for on our very first episode when we launched the show last year? Who was our very first guest on air? Very, very big company in the industry. You know, I don't even need his specific name. He's a great guy, but just tell me the company he worked for. I'll give you a little hint. They're involved in NASCAR. So first person to punch it in on the chat board will be the winner of a set of Ringers gloves. I'm going to go to a short break from our partners, and we'll pick you guys back up after the break.
It's Cage Rage on the River 2. MMA cage fighting action returns to Bluewater Resort and Casino Saturday, July 7th at 7 p.m. Closed fist, full contact, locked inside a cage of steel. Tickets for this indoor event start at just $25. Ringside, just $75. Ask about VIP table. Cage Rage on the River 2, Saturday, July 7th. Only at Bluewater Resort and Casino, Parker, Arizona. A Ringside Promotions presentation.
Have you been looking to have some custom embroidery or screen printing work done but are scared of the high price tag? Give Intensities a call. They offer custom screen printing, embroidery, design, artwork, and custom branding. With no minimums and fast turnarounds, you have no choice but to go where the pros go, and that means you're going with Intensities, the official clothing supplier of the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Visit them online at www.intensities.com. Parker Motor Company has been in business for over 95 years, so when you're looking for a new Ford or Lincoln, go somewhere who has seen it all, done it all, and has been around long enough to know how to treat customers. Whether you're looking for a new Ford Raptor, Shelby GT500, a luxurious Navigator, or something great on gas, like the 40-plus mile-per-gallon Ford Fiesta, make the right choice and give Parker Motor Company a call. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer. All right, back from the break from our partners, and let's click over here to the chat board. Speed Energy, no, they were not the first guest. Randy Ross from Championship Desert Racing, no, Randy Ross was our second guest. go all the way back. You're one show away. A set of ringers gloves are waiting in the wings for whoever can come up with it. Just give me the name of the company that he worked for. I'll even throw it out there. His name was Michael Cash. Now tell me the name of the company that he worked for. I even told you that they're involved with NASCAR. Come on, listeners, you guys, you're kind of hurting my feelings here. But anyways, we'll let you guys answer that question, and when we get the correct answer on the chat board, we'll announce it on air. But now we're going to skip forward to a little bit of the Speed Energy Robbie Report. That's right. Before we get into the 500, we're going to talk a little bit about Speed Energy and Robbie news. The big news was coming from the Baja 500. Robbie took his Dakar Hummer down to Baja. He drew a late. Oh, look at our winner on the chat board. Charlie Bravo comes away with the win. Roush Yates, Tony B is in second. And you know what? I've got enough sets of ringers gloves laying around. I will mail you both a set. So Tony B and Charlie Bravo, I'm going to send you both a set. And I don't know if my brother's got the prize pack out to Charlie Bravo yet, because Mr. Charlie's in England. But if not, we'll mail you a new package. And if he has, or if he hasn't, we'll throw the gloves in with that. So Charlie Bravo and Tony Barraza are winners for today. It was almost like instantaneous when they both clicked on. So we'll send you both out a set of gloves. But anyways, Baja 500 coverage. Robbie Gordon, he took the Dakar Hummer out. Got a really, really crummy draw. Started at the back. His plans were to talk with him a little bit before the race. He was planning on foregoing pit stops. He wasn't going to pit. The Dakar Hummer can pretty much run the entire race on fuel. He was talking about maybe not even changing tires, was just going to pretty much try and forego all pit stops and make up track position. I think it was working really, really well for him. Had a problem with a CV about 180, 200 miles in, something like that. And also had a problem with a coilover or something. I think he blew out a coilover, both at the same time. So he was down for about 2 hours with that. And he pretty much put it in cruise control mode after that, and ended up finishing the race, but definitely not the result he was looking for. A little bit of other news: Stadium Super Trucks. Obviously, we covered that pretty hard last week. From what Robbie says, Crandon, I think he is going to be running a Pro 2 at Crandon, and they're also going to have a Stadium Super Truck at Crandon. Not necessarily going to be racing the Stadium Super Truck, but they're going to have it there on display, going to do some hot laps at Crandon. And per Robbie, he is estimating the Stadium Super Truck is going to set the track record at Crandon, be faster than the Pro 4s and the Pro 2s. So definitely something to look forward to. I think power to weight, that little bullet may have a chance. So we'll definitely look forward to that. And Robbie's next NASCAR race on the NASCAR side of things, his next race is in Sonoma. So not long until Robbie's back in a cup car again. Definitely going to be doing Sonoma this year. I believe plans are for Watkins Glen. He usually dominates at the road courses. So I think you're going to see at least two more races on the cup side of things out of Robbie. He's actually started sponsoring in Speed Energy Justin Lofton in the Camping World Truck Series, and Justin coming away with a win in his very first outing with the Speed Energy color, so very good on that end of things. So I think that pretty much wraps up our Speed Energy Robbie report for the day. You can always find out more information at speedenergy.com, but definitely always news coming out of the Speed Energy camp. But we're going to fast forward here to the rest of the Baja 500 coverage. Those of you tuning in, I wasn't in Mexico, but I was actually running ops for a trophy truck team from the States here. I had a couple hundred text messages with a certain trophy truck team, just running ops with the IRC and stuff. So I was pretty much knowing what was happening all day long. But anyways, You know, it was an awesome, awesome race. You know, the big storylines were Robbie Pierce and Rob McCracken, the two Mastercraft trucks, starting up front. Both of them had top four draws out of all entries in Trophy Truck, which pretty to do. Robbie Pierce was really holding his own. I mean, he was dominating, leading for a while. About mile marker 200, he lost a ring and pinion. And that pretty much did his day in. It was in a pretty bad spot where he lost it. The team tried to concentrate on keeping Rob McCracken in the points chase. Rob had a couple power steering problems. Ended up finishing, which I think after he finished, I think you're going to see pretty much a three-way deadlock with BJ Baldwin, Rob McCracken, and Juan Carlos Lopez in the top spot in the SCORE Trophy Truck Series. So should be awesome, awesome action going into the Baja 1000. But anyways, BJ Baldwin ended up coming across in first place. Bryce Menzies ended up physically coming across in second place. But Bryce, because he started so deep in the field, ended up winning the race on time. Beat BJ Baldwin by a mere 11 seconds. That's really amazing after a 500-mile race, 11 seconds. And it makes you wonder. BJ spun his truck out in the very first corner of the race. Took off the line. I guess the corner was sandier than normal or something. First corner of the race, spun it out. I guarantee you that cost him 11 seconds. You know, what could have been if, you know, it tells you in a 500-mile race in Baja, you know, every second, every corner counts. Just absolutely amazing. It came down to 11 seconds. But anyways, Bryce coming away with the win. You know, he's the points champion from last year, Dirt Sports Driver of the Year. Had a phenomenal campaign last year. He's doing really well in Torque this year. Bryce told me he's concentrating on Torque. He's only running the 500 and the 1,000 this year. You know, obviously didn't run the two SCORE races at the beginning of the year. You know, the funny thing is he comes to the 500, did a lot of pre-running, flying back and forth between that and the Torque races. But Bryce coming away with the win, and he'll also be running the 1,000. It makes you wonder what could have been for Bryce this year. Come out of the box and win the Baja 500, which is back-to-back 500s for Bryce, by the way. Makes you wonder what could have been this year. I think he would be doing battle with BJ Robb and Juan Carlos Lopez up at the top spot if he would have ran the first two races. Jesse Jones out of Phoenix coming across in third in Trophy Truck. A great run for Jesse. And then a slew of McMillans. Dan McMillan in fourth place overall, fourth in Trophy Truck. Luke McMillan, fifth overall, first in Class 1. Then Mark Weyrich in sixth. In a Trophy Truck overall. And then Andy McMillan coming across in seventh in a Trophy Truck. So fourth, fifth, and seventh overall all belong to the McMillan family. Great showing by the McMillans down there. Juan Carlos Lopez in ninth. We had Chris Kemp in eighth. Corey Sheeler in tenth. Corey making a lot of updates to his truck, was very fast down in Baja. And then skipped down to 12th place. We had Rob McCracken in 12th. Getting a finish. If it wouldn't have been for his two power steering pumps, could have had a good shot at the win. You know, it was absolutely phenomenal Trophy Truck race. You know, just absolutely amazing. It was great all day. Obviously, we'll give you a quick rundown of all the results. Trophy Truck, obviously, Bryce Menzies your winner. BJ Baldwin in second. Class 1, we had Luke McMillan. Clyde Stacey in second. And third was Buddy Feldkamp, 1-2-1600. Jason Coleman coming across with the win. Jason, just a phenomenal day. He's a great driver. You know, he got the win in 1-2-1600. Class 3, Donald Moss, the unbeatable Moss brothers of Donald and Ken, getting another win in their Bronco. I have no idea how many wins that Bronco has, how many Baja wins. That old Bronco is obviously one of the winningest vehicles ever. There's been quite a few people that have built vehicles for that class to try and beat them, and for some reason, the Moss brothers just keep on winning. So just I'm speechless, you know. They're unbeatable virtually. Class 5, Jose Lopez winning, 5-1600. Clyde Stacey winning in that class as well. Class 6, Gavin Skilton. And Heidi Steele in second. Her first race back from having her new baby. Congratulations goes out to Heidi and Cameron for the new baby Steele, bringing another off-road racer into the family. But Heidi coming across in second place. Class 7, Victor Herrera with a win. 7SX, Ricardo Garcia. Class 8, Rodolfo Uribe. Class 10, Matt Cullen. Score Lights, Brent Parkhouse. Class 11, no finishers. Stock Full, Wes Beverly. Stock Mini, Andy Bell. Pro Truck, Chelsea Magnus. Class 7-2, Mike West. Class 4 was Derek Fletcher. Class 2, Clyde Stacey again. It's three wins for Clyde Stacey. It's crazy. I don't know what sections he drove in which vehicles, but it shows Clyde Stacey with, with two wins and a top five finish in Class 1. So, I don't know. Just crazy. Clyde Stacey doing it all in the RPM Speed Energy vehicles. There's a reason why I didn't mention any motorcycle coverage. Sorry about that. There's a reason why I didn't mention any motorcycle coverage, and that's because I'm dedicating a full segment to the motorcycles. We've talked off and on this year about the motorcycles. Honda's been so dominant in Baja over the past 15 years, just absolutely dominant. This year, we've seen KTM and Kawasaki come into the fold, giving them a run for their money. It's been great. It's really, really pushed interest in unlimited motorcycles in Score this year, just because Honda's been so dominant, and for a long time, they were the only player. Well, for the first time in 15 years, Honda was dethroned as the Baja 500 champs. The THR Motorsports Kawasaki and their dream team, headed by Robbie Bell, who was a rider record, Steve Hengeveld, and David Pearson, bested all the other bikes, cars, and trucks with a time of 9 hours, 10 minutes, 3 seconds. Steve Hengeveld, we had him on air a while back. It's kind of got to be bittersweet. I don't know what to say, but, obviously, all those years when Johnny Campbell was winning all the Baja races, Steve Hengeveld was the second rider on that team. I love Johnny Campbell. I have all the respect in the world for Johnny Campbell, but I honestly believe that Steve Hengeveld was maybe the unsung hero of that team. He didn't get a lot of the credit just because Johnny was the headline guy, and rightfully so, he earned it. But Steve Hengeveld, he obviously contributed huge, mass amounts to that effort with Johnny Campbell, and it's kind of cool to see him on a different brand come in and top Honda. I think that's really cool. Really, really amazing. Second place went to the JCR, which is Johnny Campbell Racing Honda team. They were 2 minutes, 38 seconds back. Third place went to the Class 22 points leader, which is also kind of amazing. It's a different bike. Kurt Caselli, Ivan Ramirez on a KTM. And the newcomer, which was signed just a few weeks before the 500, was Mark Coma, the three-time Dakar champ, first time in Baja, coming away with a third-place finish. They had all kinds of issues with all three teams at the 500 this year. KTM was down a rider at the start. Kurt Caselli had a broken collarbone, and that he broke in an earlier racing incident. He crossed the start line and handed the bike off immediately so they could continue their points lead and hold off their points lead through the rest of the series. You know, so he actually did start the race, but really didn't ride much of it. Just it was all for show. Just pretty much gave it gas, and as soon as he crossed the start line, handed it off. But he was technically considered rider of record. THR Kawasaki team, they had a perfect game plan until their first scheduled pit stop. Robbie Bell missed the first pit, just blew past the first pit. And as he blew past the first pit, he ran out of gas 10 miles later. After he ran out of gas 10 miles past the first pit, he found two spectators camping along the course. The campers had a couple of cans of gas. So Robbie Bell bummed the gas off of them, filled his bike up, and made it to the next pit where they obviously filled the bike up, topped it off like it should have been with actual race gas. But in this whole debacle, he lost 6 minutes to Team Honda. And then the JCR team was slowed by two separate and unexpected crashes from Colton Udall. He had the first crash, and it happened somewhere near the summit. That allowed David Pearson to earn his time back. The second get-off happened later in the race and caused shoulder problems for Colton, who was scheduled to get back on the bike and run the final 50 miles of the course. So David Coma had to finish the race, and he had muffler issues from all the incidents of crashing, and finished the race after never pre-running the final section. All this drama led to the THR team covering their one-minute starting interval over Honda and led them to victory. Robbie Bell's fourth Baja victory, Hedjavel's seventh, David Pearson's first. So if you caught all that, that's a heck of a rundown on what happened in the Class 22 Unlimited Motorcycles. So for those of you that love motorcycle action, I'll tell you what, that leads us into an absolutely awesome Baja 1000 coming up, both in the Class 22s and in the trophy truck side of things. Class 22s, obviously, you're going to see Honda, KTM, and Kawasaki doing battle at the 1000. Honda's always got the ace up their sleeve, Johnny Campbell. He knows Baja better than anyone, especially the point-to-point races. He can show these guys how to pre-run and how to be successful in Baja. Obviously, THR Kawasaki, they've got Steve Hengeveld. Steve knows all Johnny's tricks because Steve's been Johnny's teammate for so long. And then you've got KTM, who they've got the money to spend, and they can pretty much bring anybody in that they want to run with them. As you saw, they brought in Coma, a Dakar racer. So it should be an awesome, awesome Peninsula run this year. On the trophy truck side of things, the Peninsula run, you're going to have a shootout. You're going to have B.J. Baldwin, Juan Carlos Lopez, and Rob McCracken. In my estimation, Score hasn't announced the official points yet, but you're going to have them in a three-way deadlock for the top spot. They're going to have to do battle at Baja. Track position is going to be everything. They're going to have to battle it out to come across with the win. But being the full point-to-point 1,000-mile race, they're going to have to conserve their trucks. So it's going to be a shootout at the 1,000 in more ways than one. Just absolutely awesome storylines going into the Baja 1,000 this year. And then, on the flip side of things, you've got Robbie Gordon, who is – has been pretty much dominant in everything this year in the desert, and he's going to have nothing to lose going into Baja. So he's going to hammer down and try and just dominate these guys. And on the same thing, you've got Bryce Menzies, who's got nothing to lose. He's not running for the points this year, so he's going to be able to put the throttle down. So you're going to have three guys who need to conserve their truck and get the finish, two guys that can go for broke. Just going to be awesome, awesome Baja 1000. Totally looking forward to it this year. And totally excited to see the way that Score lays out the course. I'm really excited to see that and see how things shape up. Obviously, these guys are going to have a huge amount of time to get their vehicles ready for the 1000. Score not running a prim race this year. These guys are one event shorter than last year. The trucks will be prepped. It's going to be battle in Baja. That's for sure. Other news and notes. We had a World Rally Championship event here recently. I didn't cover it last week. We were just busy. But the Acropolis Rally in Greece. It's actually one of the biggest and most attended rallies on the World Rally Championship Tour. You know, the results are not surprising. You know, obviously Sebastian Loeb come across with the win, Hirvonen in second, Latvala in third. You know, that's your top three. You know, Loeb doesn't surprise anybody anymore. The guy's just a machine. But I'm just looking down the thing. There was 22 stages in this event. And let's see here. Ford won something like, looks like 15 of the 22 stages. The others going to Citroën, Sebastian Loeb and Hirvonen splitting those up. But Ford, just absolutely dominant. Latvala taking home a bunch of those stage wins. Ford's got a good program this year with Solberg and Latvala. Ken Block, when he runs with Ford. They've got a good program, but Loeb is just so dominant. You want to talk about machines? Sebastian Loeb is a machine. That guy, when he shows up, you know he's going to win unless he takes himself out. The FIA drivers' point standings for the World Rally Championship shaping up as Sebastian Loeb with a dominant lead in first place. Mikko Hirvonen in second, Osberg third, Peter Solberg in fourth, and Latvala in fifth. Other notables skip down to eighth, Nasser Al-Attiyah. Yeah, Robbie Gordon's ex-Dakar teammate. He's in eighth place in the World Rally Championship standings this year, and he's missed a few races. So Nasser showing that he can get it done in a rally car, not just the open desert. Next up is the Rally New Zealand. Ken Block will be in action at the World Rally Championship New Zealand in a few weeks. And next week, we're going to have Ken Block's co-writer and team manager, Alex Gelsomino, on air. So something definitely to look forward to. Going to have a World Rally Championship co-writer on air. Alex is a great, great guy, a good friend of mine, and just a phenomenal guy. And everybody knows about Ken Block. Well, Alex is the guy that keeps Ken Block sane. So, we had Ken Block on air a few months ago. We're going to have Alex on air now. It should be awesome to hear the stories from the right side of the car and the guy that keeps the ever, I don't know what it, the right way to put it, but let's just put it this way. Keeps KB in check. So it should be awesome to have Alex on air. Very excited about it. But he'll be on air right before they go to Rally New Zealand and after they hit up Global Rallycross in Texas. So should be awesome. Another event, we do a little bit of Formula Drift coverage. Like I said, they're airing everything later on in the year. We'll talk about it more as they start airing these events on TV. But Formula Drift, round three, the invasion from Palm Beach, Florida, happened this past weekend. Had a new winner. Diego Sato came across with the win. Chris Forsberg in second. Dejiro Yoshihara in third. Shapes up as your points leaders now. Justin Pollock, he's got a pretty dominant points lead. Diego Sato in second. Dejiro Yoshihara in third. Pollock just very, very successful this year. Made it to the semifinals and got beat out by Sato. The other notables, Von Gittin having an off year this year, was a top qualifier for Formula Drift in Palm Beach. And then he got beat out by Pollock in the quarterfinal round. So Gittin not having the success that he's known for this year, was a top qualifier, but it looks like Pollock's got his number this year. I think Pollock's knocked him out a few times. I don't know if any of you are big Formula Drift fans like I am. It's a very interesting concept. It's not actually a race. It's actually judged, but it's cool to see these cars side by side at 100 miles an hour in a slide. You know, these guys have epic car control. It's really, really amazing. Definitely check it out. And our good friends Mad Media, who owns JimKahana.com, they've been covering Formula Drift pretty regularly. Lots of YouTube videos up at JimKahana.com that Mad Media has shot. Definitely go and check that out there, and you can see what this drifting is all about. The next event is the Gauntlet in New Jersey coming up in a couple of weeks. So definitely check out JimKahana.com for the full coverage online, and then it'll air later on in the year. More racing action over the weekend. Just all kinds of action going on. AMA Motocross, AMA Pro Motocross, round three from Lakewood, Colorado. Round three kicking off in Lakewood. The big news coming out of here, in one of the motos, James Bubba Stewart crashes after being dominant earlier on in the year. James Stewart crashed out, jammed his wrist, but he says he will be back next week. You know, it definitely hurt him, didn't make the final, but says he will be back next week, back on the bike. Should be interesting to see how that shapes up. But your motocross results, and I apologize, I didn't get to watch the event this week, you know, between the Baja 500 and everything else I had going, just didn't get a chance to tune in and watch motocross this weekend. I do have it on the DVR, planning on watching it this evening. Dungy coming across with the win. Weimer in second, Andrew Short in third, Nico Easy in fourth, Brett Metcalf in fifth, Michael Lessie sixth, Justin Brayton seventh, and Michael Byrne in eighth. That rounds out your top eight. You know, I could go down the entire list, but I'm not going to do it. Dungy being pretty dominant. I called it before the season. I said Dungy's going to be on a mission in motocross, you know, after being hurt a lot of the Supercross season, and with Villopoto out, Dungy is stepping it up, and you know, I think later on this year the combo is going to be Dungy and Bubba Stewart to see how they do battle. But anyways, Dungy with the points lead with 136 points, Jake Weimer in second with 101, and Michael Lessie and James Stewart tied for third with 100 points apiece. 250 light results. Justin Barcia taking another one. Blake Baggett in second. Ken Roczen in third. Eli Tomac in fourth. And Mushkin in fifth. That rounds out your top five. The 250 lights point standing shaping up with Baggett in first. Barcia in second. Roczen third. Tomac fourth. And Mushkin in fifth. The lights, been some great racing action. You know, that field is just absolutely packed with, you know, it's just absolutely packed with talent. I think you're going to see a lot of those guys in the 450s in the next year or two. You know, I guess obviously after all said and done, the big news coming out of Lakewood was, you know, was Bubba Stewart crashing. You know, everybody always has excuses when they crash, but we'll see if he'll be back and be 100% next weekend. Next weekend's race is going to be at High Point Raceway in Pennsylvania, so definitely worth checking out. I will be watching it as it airs this weekend, since there's no Baja 500, and I promise you guys I'll catch up on the DVR of the Lakewood race tonight. But other news and notes, our product spotlight for today, a little bit different product spotlight. We've never done something like this today. But I told you, and it's on our Facebook page, about the 2013 Honda CRF 450. Honda announcing an all-new CRF for next year. The thing launches, I think it's in August or September. But I'm going to give you a rundown on the specs. This bike, if you haven't seen the reveal video, you haven't seen the pictures, you can definitely tell the difference. You know, a lot of motorcycle manufacturers keep the same bike from year to year, and it's pretty much just change the VIN number and maybe the color of the graphics and shoot it out for another year model. This year, Honda is changing the game. I mean, this is a ground-up new bike. I wouldn't say ground-up, but pretty much ground-up new bike. I'm just gonna skip down a few of the points on this new bike, but you definitely need to check it out and tell me on the chat board. Do you think this thing is, is a game changer or not. But they took the cover off the 2013 CRF 450, an all-new machine. Obviously, it's got restyled plastic, updated coloring, which I'm digging the white coloring on this bike. But there's all kinds of new bullet points on this thing. Dual mufflers, going from the single muffler to a dual muffler, a larger fuel tank, and a Schrader valve on top of the forks, air forks. That's right. Honda calls today's generation the scrub generation of riders. 2013 CRF 450 was pretty much aimed at this target market. They definitely changed the suspension completely around and the motor usability. Supercross champion Jeremy McGrath, everybody knows Jeremy, he actually was heavy involved in the development of this bike. He actually, this would kind of be Jeremy McGrath's dream bike. Honda hired him on to develop this bike, and he played an instrumental part in this bike. And this is Jeremy's vision of a dream motorcycle. So if that doesn't speak numbers, nothing will. I mean, you know, with a bike with Jeremy McGrath's endorsement, designed by him, it's definitely going to be a game changer. First thing Honda did, they started from the bottom and worked its way up, developing this new bike. First off, they've got the all-new tire setup on here, lighter tires. They're running Dunlops in the front, MX51FA. There's an all-new swing arm. There's a taller beam height in the front and the center sections that are more rigid and designed to reduce deflection in rutted turns and improve the corner exit traction. An all-aluminum subframe is lighter and smaller than previous years, and it accommodates the new dual exhaust system. The fuel tank is a little bit larger. This is Honda's sixth-generation aluminum frame, and it was changed dramatically in the steering area. The junction of the steering head and the mainframe intersect distinctly lower on the steering head pipe. Honda claims this design has a lower center of gravity and instills more tuned flex into the chassis for better front-end traction. Rear shock is 14.5 millimeters shorter. It sits lower in the frame. It's been revalved and lowers the center of gravity dramatically. The dual exhaust muffler system was designed to reduce swing arm momentum of the bike to improve handling and agility. Honda wanted to keep the muffler system from hanging past the rear swing arm, which meant they needed to get shorter mufflers. However, two smaller mufflers were needed to keep the bike quiet, so if they would have went with the single muffler, it would have been, you know, in the shorter version, it would have been way too loud, so they had to go to a dual muffler. They're heavier than the single muffler, but Honda says the new placement make the bike feel lighter on the track because they're tucked in under the bike and don't stick out as far out the back. They've tried the dual muffler system before on the CRF 250, but the two pipes weren't better than one. But Honda says in this case, with the new technology and the design and the placement of the mufflers, they hit a home run and finally figured out how to accommodate a two muffler system into the bike. The CRF 450 is fitted with a new Kayaba PSF, which stands for pneumatic spring fork, or AKA air forks. The advantage of the air forks over the traditional forks is less weight and easier adjustability. The springs are replaced by air, the forks are lighter, and at least 2 pounds. There's less unsprung rate, and changing the springs is now as easy as using a bicycle pump. 1 pound is equivalent to one spring rate level. Air forks aren't new, but they have always been a problem with air forks due to tighter seals in the fork tubes. But with today's new anti-stiction fork coating technology, the advantage of the air fork can now be obtained. This is not the same air fork that was introduced on the 2013 KX 450F. Honda says that is dramatically different and dramatically better. Despite the air fork and frame changes, the CRF 450 still retains its steering dampener system. The motor is basically the same overall design, but it's significantly tweaked to give it better bottom to mid power and transition. The cylinder head has a new valve timing, 1 millimeter larger exhaust valves. There's a new high compression piston. It was formerly at 12 to 1. Now it's 12 and a half to 1. It gets better improved lubrication. And the new clutch now uses 6 springs instead of 4. CRF 450 is scheduled to be released in September. MSRP hasn't been announced, but Honda says the goal is to keep it exactly the same as a 2012 bike, and that's at $8,440. So there's a rundown on the new 2013 CRF 450. The reason why I do that as a product spotlight today, this bike, I believe, is a game changer. I've read a lot. I've watched a lot on it. Definitely an absolutely awesome new bike. Anybody looking for a new dirt bike needs to hold off until this thing gets released to the general public, and definitely check it out. Little bit other news, supercross.com. If you guys aren't familiar with that, it's probably the largest motorcycle website in the world. Covers all kinds of, women's motocross, men's motocross, supercross, international motocross, just everything you can imagine. The big announcement, though, is Supercross.com and Torque have just announced a team up. Supercross.com, actually, they sponsor some short course trucks, but they're teaming up with Torque. They're going to have full Torque coverage, live coverage, and they've got a few more announcements that they haven't announced yet, but they're coming in the next week. It's a big video and all kinds of news about it at Supercross.com. Check it out. They did some awesome stuff with the Mint 400. They also had a little bit of Baja 500 coverage. They're definitely transferring over into the four-wheel side of things. Just another website to cover off-road. I love it. You're going to have Race Desert Dirt News and now Supercross.com with off-road coverage. So really looking forward to it. We'll definitely be checking that out. And as soon as they announce everything that it entails, I will keep you updated. Another thing is, I check Supercross.com daily just to keep up to date on off-road news, rumors and stuff as far as Supercross and motocross, and that's really the best place I've found to cover to check out female motocross, which is becoming huge. If any of you don't know who Ashley Fiolik is yet, I guarantee in the next 6 months to a year, you will know who Ashley Fiolik is. If you're a two-wheeled motocross or supercross fan, you know who I'm talking about. The rest of you, just remember Ashley Fiolik. She is a female racer, and she's also deaf, which makes it even more interesting, but she has become a dominant force in female motocross. But anyways, after digressing, Supercross.com did a bike setup video on Twitch's freestyle bike. You always see all kinds of bike setup videos and stuff. Pretty interesting deal to see what Twitch does to make his brand new CRF 450 freestyle ready. And this is actually the bike he's going to be running at the X Games in at the end of the month. So really cool, definitely interested, interesting deal. And I'll probably put a link to the video up on our Facebook page when we go off air, so you can check it out. GRC, we did a full coverage of the Global Rallycross event from Charlotte. I'm going to give you a quick Texas preview. GRC, I talked about it last week, and as the weeks went on, they have got a ton of flack from the way they ran Charlotte. It didn't do justice to the rally cars, running totally on asphalt. They didn't have the big jumps, didn't have the crossover jump. They had a stupid wooden ramp that was like a speed bump. Their big thing was these water features, and they basically sprayed water on the course. It was an awesome race, but because I love rally, but it almost looked almost like a touring car race, to be honest with you, just running on the asphalt. Got a lot of flack. They said they're going to make changes. They're running a race in Texas this weekend in conjunction with IndyCar's Texas Motor Speedway. All the usual suspects are going to be there. Granholm, Tanner Faust, Dave Mira, Ken Block, Brian Deegan, Bucky Lassick, Travis Pastrana, Reese Millen. But the big news is Liam Dorham is coming over from the UK. He's the European Rallycross, one of the top guys in the European Rallycross series. Him and Tanner Faust usually do battle. He's coming over from the UK, bringing a Citroen. And he's coming over to run the United States Global Rallycross Series. So that should be awesome, and see how Liam Dorham shakes stuff up. But they will have everything live on ESPN Saturday, Global Rallycross from Texas Motor Speedway. Let's hope they add a little dirt on this time, but definitely worth checking out. If I had to pick somebody right out of the box, I would say you're going to have Brian Deegan and Ken Block are going to be coming back for redemption. They're going to be very tough, very hard to beat. But the man on top, Marcus Grunholm, he's going to be tough to beat as well. That's going to be my top three picks going into this round of the GRC, Grunholm, Deegan, and Block. We'll see how it shakes up, and we'll see how well I do with my predictions next week. Little update on the Race Desert Down and Dirty Show Fantasy NASCAR Challenge. We haven't updated in a few weeks. I thought I would update you guys. AZ Mott in first. Bill with Bonsai Boys Racing. 1 point separates the top two. Donald with KD Motorsports in third, a little ways back. Trent is currently in 11th. I'm in 34th. I'm down and out. My team decided to start and park and drink beer in the pits. I'm that far back that I don't know. I kind of I go in and pay attention, and I don't know. I don't have a prayer of a chance. It's going to take an act of God to get me back up in the top. The one notable, I gotta say, our listener Gwen, she has moved herself up into the top 20 after missing the first three races, which says even less about me. I was racing the first three races, and she's beating me by like 15 positions. So how good is Gwen, and how bad am I? But anyways, would be interesting to see if she would have made the top three races to see where she'd be at points. My guess is probably the top five. But anyways, shaping up, you've got to be in the top 12 to move on to the finals. We've still got quite a few races left, but that's the update on the Race Desert Fantasy NASCAR Challenge brought to you by the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. We're pitching in $200 to the winners this year, so definitely check it out, and if you missed out, get in on it next year. I'm running a contest on Facebook right now. I just wanted to mention to it, nobody's come away with a win yet. I've had lots of emails and stuff. How do you do it? I don't know. It's a reaction time test. Check it. Tests your reaction time. Go onto my Facebook page. You'll be able to see it. The cool thing about it is anybody that can get the top spot, I've got second to the top spot. There's five levels. I'm at the fourth level. If you can get to the fifth level, which is the fastest reaction time, I will mail you. Send me a screenshot. Email it to me, or tag me on Facebook or Twitter with your screenshot. I'll mail you a Speed Energy Drink sampler package. It's that hard to get your reaction time on the top spot. First person to do it, I will mail you a Speed Energy sampler package with a bunch of different flavors of Speed Energy drinks. So go on there and check it out and see what you can do, because it doesn't hurt. Kill some time at work. Try and get the top spot. You may get some free Speed Energy. Upcoming events, I will be at Lake Elsinore this weekend, Lucas Oil Regionals. I will be at Lake Elsinore checking things out. I will have some interviews. I'll have my portable mic. I don't know if we'll have all the interviews next week. I don't know if we'll have all the interviews next week on air or the following week. Depends how many and how much of them I have. But lined up so far for interviews, we're going to have the guys from Superlight on air, some of their drivers, and the guys behind Superlight. We will have an interview with them. We will also have an interview with Andrea Pathiakis. She's an awesome, awesome female racer. What more can you say about Andrea? She's a champion racer. She's a model. She's an awesome student. It's a girl with a good head on her shoulders, and we'll have her back on air. We're going to have Jenkins Motorsports, Sammy the Bull. We're going to have RSK Clothing, who's getting deep into off-road racing. We're going to have LaRouge Bikinis, who are getting deep into off-road racing. I don't know. I've got so many interviews lined up for Elsinore. I'm looking forward to getting out there for the regionals, seeing the mini stock class. That's where the racing's at. Should be some awesome racing. If you're at Elsinore, hit me up. If you're going to be out there racing, let me know. I'll get you on air for an interview. We'll be doing some remote interviews from the pits, and we'll have you on air. So definitely hit me up. You know how to get a hold of me if you're going to be out there, and I will get you on air. Upcoming events that we're going to be covering: GRC Texas next weekend, Torque Crandon the 16th of the month, World Rally Championship New Zealand coming up, and the X Games. X Games, you guys in SoCal, get your tickets now. They're selling out very, very fast. Always tough to get a hold of those. I think there's a few left for the rally events. You need to go to Ticketmaster.com if you plan on attending and get the tickets. They're going to sell out quick. If you wait until the day of the event, you won't get in. Next week on air, obviously we're going to have Alex Gelsomino from the Monster World Rally Team, Ken Block's co-rider, team manager. He'll be here after the GRC Texas, and the day before he heads to New Zealand for the World Rally Championship race. Very excited to have Alex on air. Awesome, awesome guy. He knows the rally world inside and out. He knows how to work on these cars. He knows how to build these cars. He knows how to co-ride these cars. He knows how to drive these cars, and he knows how to manage a team. This guy's absolutely phenomenal. He's just one of the best in the business. Very much looking forward to having him on air. And the other thing that we're going to have on air that I'm really, really excited about next week, we're going to have Michelle Martinaw and Emmy Hall on air, and two other women in their all-female super team that they're organizing. If any of you know Michelle and Emmy, they were going to the Gazelles Rally in Morocco. Michelle has had some health issues. She's a fighter. She's a battler. She's battled through them. She's come out on top. She is just an awesome, awesome woman. She has overcome is absolutely amazing. My hat's off to Michelle. We're going to have her on air, and Emmy, and the rest of their all-female super team live from Colorado, where Michelle's truck is being shipped to her. So we're going to have all four women on air live from Colorado next week, and they're going to talk about their female super team. Definitely worth looking forward to and listening in on. I'm so excited about that interview. And then I would also just mention, you guys have anything you want to hear on air or for me to cover, shoot it over to me. I will get it on air. Any press releases, anything, shoot it over. If you know somebody you want on air, let me know. I'll get them on air. Shoot me an email. Easy to get a hold of. I apologize once again for all our technical problems we had at the beginning of the show. I really, really apologize for that. There's not much I can do. Problems happen when they happen. So I can promise you they won't happen next week. Trust me. Anyways, like to give a shout out to our partners, Ringers, for giving out gloves for Tony Barraza and Charlie Bravo. Congratulations, guys, on winning the trivia. You'll have some Ringers gloves sent your way soon. Blue Water Resort and Casino, one of our longtime partners. Definitely want to give a shout-out to them, and they've got Cage Rage on the River coming over the 4th of July weekend. The first event, Cage Fighting on the River, sold out immediately. There's still some tickets left. If you wait until the day of the fight, you will not get in. So definitely get a hold of Blue Water Resort and Casino at bluewaterfun.com or through our website. We've got some banner ads for them up. And get your tickets, UPR, upr.com. Check them out. They've got some awesome garage sale items. I think 50% off Alpine Stars driving gloves right now at UPR's website. Check them out at upr.com. All your safety apparel and pit equipment needs. Speed Energy, our title sponsor, and just absolutely amazing. The best energy drink company on the market. Loaded with vitamins and minerals and stuff that your body needs. Definitely check them out, speedenergy.com, and support who supports our show. I'd also like to announce KC Highlights has come on air with us, as well as Ahern Reynolds. KC Highlights, if you don't know who KC Highlights is, you've been living under a rock for about 30 years. But the number one off-road lighting in the world. They've got pods. They've announced a new line of flashlights, a new lineup of discounted HID lights that are absolutely amazing. Definitely check them out on the web, kchighlights.com. We've got banner ads going up on our site. We will have full commercials and all kinds of giveaways. I'm excited about KC Highlights coming on board. Should be just an awesome, awesome partner for us. And they've been a partner for a long time on my trophy truck, number 15. And just happy to have them on the fold and see what we can do to help push the brand on this radio show. I ask you to please check out their website, follow them on Twitter, like them on Facebook, and a very good group of guys. And also like to mention Ahern Rentals coming on board as one of our partners. You can. They've already got banner ads up on the Down and Dirty Show website. If you need any kind of rentals for either, if you're doing a house remodel, if you're going to an off-road race, if you own a construction company, they can do anything. They can do lighting towers, generators, trailers, dump trucks, moving trucks. I think they rent everything down to leaf blowers and lawnmowers. So. Anything you need, check them out on the web, ahern.com. All their contact info is on our website. I appreciate their support, and definitely one of the quiet people in the off-road industry that helps make things happen. A lot of off-road teams and short course teams use them for their products. They can deliver anywhere in the United States. Check them out. Awesome group of people, and they have an awesome product. Other than that, I'm going to sign off. Once again, apologize for the technical problems we had earlier in the show. We've got Andrew Cadell coming. We had him on today. I'm, very excited to have Andrew. Awesome, awesome guy. Doing a great job this year in Torque. Looking forward to what the future holds for him. I appreciate Andrew taking the time out of his busy schedule to come on air with us. We'll see you next week. And like I said, if you're going to be at Elsinore, hit me up. I will be there this weekend doing interviews and having a good time. So looking forward to that. And we'll see you next week when we have Alex Gelsomino, Michelle Martinaw, Emmy Hall, and the all-female super team live on air. I think I'm going to sign off now, and we'll see you guys next week. And definitely check out that contest. I want to see who can top my reaction time. I don't think anybody can. I'm laying the challenge down, and I'm throwing out a sampler pack of Speed Energy. So check it out. We'll see you next week.